Hi, and welcome to Three Worlds podcast number 28. And this is the second part of the interview with Faith Knowlton, the shamanic artist or visionary artist or however you wish to describe her. And without further ado, back to Faith. All right, so you get commissions by the spirits. The spirits say, do this, paint that. And you've got the sort of, in effect, set subjects that you do. I know that you do a lot of plants. You also do an enormous number of trees. Mm. I very often see a beaver in your work. Mm. I don't know if you want to say anything about what that's about.
It was one of my power animals. Been with me many years, my spirit animals. And the bear also comes and appears in the work. So oftentimes it's the spirits themselves that come into the pictures. Mm. And
so okay, you've got these some of the journeys are very much sort of like, you know, recollections of events that have happened to you, although they may look phantasmagorical, but they're actual things that happen to you. Mm-hmm. Do you ever kind of get, when, say, for instance, you're going and doing a journey for somebody to the spirit worlds, and you're doing some healing work with them or stuff, do you get paintings given to you that you have to do as an act of healing, which you perhaps give to that person, or how does that kind of work for you?
That has happened a few times, and I do the picture and give it to them,
right.
And then it's up to them what happens
right.
after that.
Right.
I have also done paintings with the intention of healing for someone.
Right.
In fact, one of the first paintings, and it was a great learning, one of the first paintings I did like that was a healing painting for Sumba, the Chippewa medicine man, as he was dying. It was one of the first trees I did.
Yeah.
I do love the theme of the tree of life, with all of life sheltering around it, but the sun bear painting was a healing painting for him, and it's extraordinary. I still have it in the house, and people just stop and go and that is the world that sun bear saw. I'm quite sure sun bear is involved in that painting still, because he loved the natural world so with such commitment, and there have been others which people do respond differently to the healing paintings.
Okay, how differently? What do you see them doing?
They're very much stopped in their tracks, and there seems to be a kind of conversation going on. They're looking and...
You mean conversation quiet. With the painting?
Yeah. They are engaged with it.
Right.
I would say at a soul level.
Right.
And also I had a communication once from a lady who's had a son who was severely autistic, and he was really responding to a print of that painting.
Really?
Yeah, it was like it was rare for him to respond to anything. Mm. This is just amazing. He keeps going and touching it.
Wow.
So I don't know what's happening there, but it feels good.
Well, you can't say better than that. All right, so you've been through the kind of mill of art school.
Mm.
And it spat you out the other end, and you kind of found your feet, and now you're doing what you do. Mm. You must have had a lot of people come to you that have been through similar experiences, because the art school scene is not actually that conducive to, you know, artists.
Well, to spiritual aspects, anyway.
Right.
I think at the moment, Western art, particularly, it's it's kind of almost polarizing. We've got very at one end we've got the conceptual artists and the very materialistic treatment of art. At the other end, there is a lot of people working like me, intuitively.
Yeah, I guess
you
that's
know,
true.
You look, go on good old Google, and there's a lot of people who are really awake to this.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm sure, of course, spirit is stirring the pot there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So. I forgot what you asked then.
Well, I was asking about how people kind of, you know, in effect have been spat out by art school. And,
right.
And I guess I'm kind of moving, gently trying to edge you into one of my kind of sort of rant points of you know, the damage that people have done to their creativity. I mean, I know that that's, you know, something that you feel strongly about too, and it's something that I will sort of
yes, we don't have enough time for you to start on that.
Because, you know, I mean, you've been through the art school training, and you do have either through an enormous amount of hard work or innate skill, you're very good at drawing, you're very good at actually constructing the images.
I always felt at home with the tools of art, pencils,
right,
and so on. My father was an amateur cartoonist and artist, and you know, from an early age I saw these things used. I'd
right.
sit and have a go on a piece of paper, but beside him, and also he gifted me a very open view of life, quite a humorous one. But yes, in my role as a kind of a listener, a mentor, a grandmother, whatever you call that, that people just come and talk to me. And very often they are people who've are absolutely bursting with creativity.
Yeah.
But stuck at the same time.
Yeah.
This kind of approach, this coming from the soul side of inspiration, is very close to fire energy.
Well, creativity is on that sort of on the fire point of the medicine wheel.
Yeah,
isn't
medicine
it?
Wheel.
Yeah.
Creativity is the fire, and opposite it, the balance thing is earth.
Yeah.
And a lot of artists become connected from the earth and swept away by the fire.
Mm.
And likewise, a lot of artists burn out and then often actually physically feel darkness, cold, all the things that, you know, have lost fire.
Mm.
So was one of the things that often, you know, people come to me saying, well, I'm just feeling this imbalance, and it's expressing in their lives in certain practical ways, and sure enough, a few questions down the line, they have had a restricted creativity.
Right, when they were younger, presumably.
Younger,
yeah.
Or
yeah.
through art school.
Yeah.
Through going on a course as a mature student and being laughed at for what their soul is responding to. This is extremely damaging.
Yeah.
It's not just upsetting. I think this is a wound in the soul.
Mm.
And that goes very deep.
Mm.
An artist, in effect, is displaying their soul.
Mm. Mm.
And if someone's intuitively working like that, at a soul level, and presents that, and it's either rubbished or laughed at or ignored, you know, without the artist knowing to be protected, to know that this is a delicate place for them to be in. You can't really completely blame the people who are doing the criticizing, because I don't think people are aware enough that in our creative center, We're in our non-physical self, and we can be very vulnerable.
Mm. We're not a very sort of aware society, really, are we, in the West, in that respect?
And it's damaging to the fire. So some of the work I do with people is restoring confidence, restoring the fire.
Confidence in creativity.
In this label world that we live in, you know, it's like, oh, drawing must involve pencils. We kind of have whole sets of conventions in our heads.
And you have to be an expert to use them.
And of course, and you've had to have had good marks. And, you know, if you're your teacher at school, who's probably a crap artist anyway and didn't know at all what they were doing.
Well, that's probably why they were teaching it rather than doing it.
I'm not decrying, there are many wonderful art teachers out there, but some just do not seem to realise that, you know, tearing up someone's piece of work and putting it in the bin in front of the whole class is not the way to go.
Indeed, indeed.
And if you've had that happen to you, that takes some recovery.
Yeah, yeah. Do you want to say about the art school technique that you came across that involved a certain colour paint?
Well, yes, at least one of my tutors was very fond of coming along with a big brush full of black paint and putting the lines straight on your painting, or putting the design right on your painting. I mean, it is very funny at one point, but actually, if that's your soul there...
Yeah, it's pretty trampling on it.
It's actually akin to rape.
Yeah.
You know, it's the creativity is in the same sensitive place as sexuality.
Yeah.
And all those non-physical parts of our will, our being. So we do some recovery work from that, but sometimes I say to people, forget art, you know, it's necessary to try and do art. Do some soul doodling or some heart doodling. I say, you can doodle, can't you? Oh, yes, so, you know, see me on the phone, the phone pad has got these amazing doodles and patterns. I said, well, that's all you need to do.
And isn't that such an unconscious thing? It's like we don't really notice when we're doodling because we're on the phone or whatever, and it just happens.
And this is trying to reconnect this this response, this way of the soul coming out, and being exercised and loved and treated. Children do it so naturally.
Because,
you know, often they're encultured not to daydream, not to see the wider edges of life. You have to restrict all that, and I can see some of the sense of that. But for people for whom they have a natural ability to see a wider perspective, a wider range of reality. That's not going to go away.
No.
It may get suppressed, and that may result in illness, or certainly low energy, those kinds of things. And, you know, I do wish we'd recognise that a bit more and say, you know, this kind of damage, the remedies are quite simple. It's like you need a safe environment, you need to feel that you're not going to be judged. All the things, in effect, that you need in a ceremony, a contained space.
Right.
I mean, I do work in a very contained space in the studio.
Yeah.
So that it's I don't do contain it every day, but I don't need to because it's been rolling on. You know, I might smudge around the studio as I do around the person to contain them and to feel safe and get rid of any negativity. So, yeah, people come and talk through the problems. Sometimes even email, we can have exchanges where they'll just give them that bit of confidence, saying, well, go and doodle, really, if you're gonna be nervous about this, do a really crap picture deliberately.
Okay, well that leads me on to the next thing I wanted to say, in a way, which is, it's all right for you because you can draw and you can paint, and you know about paints. I mean, you know, I know that you know loads about paints, and you know your way around an art shop. It's not intimidating to you. It's second home to you.
It's the sweetie shop.
It's the sweetie shop. Yeah.
It's a dangerous place.
Lock up your checkbook. But it's like, okay, so it's easy for you. It really is easy for you. I'm teasing you about that.
Yes.
But it's like, to most people who may feel that they want to do something, it seems like our culture's art, in inverted commas, is so skillful. It's like a vase of flowers. Unless it looks like a vase of flowers, it's a crap drawing of it. It's like we've got that whole kind of critical culture. So how do people kind of begin to express and begin to explore their kind of creative, the shamanic, spiritual side to their art? It's like, how do they do that? How do you get into that?
Well, don't try and make pictures.
Okay.
Think of them as maps. Think of them as diagrams. You know, the shamanic, beautiful paintings they do on drums.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
stick people,
yeah.
the very childlike symbols for sun or animals. You can't even make out what some of them are, but then the shaman knows what they are.
So that
doesn't matter if other people can
recognize it. Right, that's the key, isn't it? It's like, if it works for you, it doesn't matter about other people.
But the magical thing is, if it works for you, other people will totally get it.
Okay.
If it's a kind of struggle for you.
Yeah.
If you struggle to try and make that person as lifelike as possible, and you kind of you've made a pig's ear of it, basically.
Yeah.
In kind of accuracy terms, there's going to be that energy to that image. There's going to be that unease and that
struggle.
The struggle.
Yeah.
You think of a very simple thing: handprint.
Okay.
If you wanted. You know, if you wanted to do a self-portrait, you could do it by doing a handprint. That is a symbol for person. It is personally you. It's like, get away from the conventions of Western art, because it's only very recently and only a small part of the world where this has happened.
Well, I guess that's true.
Go and look at Aboriginal bark painting. And find a good, there's many good websites and books that will describe that painting, what it's, the story it's telling. This wavy line is a river. This you don't know, but you do feel it. As you look at the picture, you feel the connection, the vibrancy of the land in the picture. So it's like a child draws something so proud. I mean, your child brings home a blob from play school and says, look what I've done.
Yeah.
And, you know, those blobs are alive.
Yeah.
And you, of course, we have to find tactful ways and say, well, what is it, dear? What an interesting... But, you know, this is part of, you know, we fall from that grace of being a child. We go into a different kind of consciousness world. But it's, if you can get back to that feeling that it doesn't matter, you're doing it for you. If you want to paint the glory of the sunrise that you've just seen, it doesn't matter how you do it. You have to feel it as you're doing it. And you could use any medium. I mean, pencils and really paintbrushes are killer things because they need so much technique. But fingerprints, work with decorating brushes.
What, the big, like, for painting
1 inch,
walls?
1 inch, 2 inch.
Right, okay, all right.
I mean, kind of put yourself into a situation where you can't repeat the awful constipated drawing you did when you were 14 trying to pass an exam.
Yeah.
It's like, just make sure that that is not something you can possibly do. Tear up bits of paper. And these are not... what would the word be? Second class kind of art. You look at people like Picasso who've done exactly the same thing.
Right.
Native people they don't have paint brushes and pencils.
No, true.
You know, they'll go and get a piece of burnt stick
or some
ochre, some earth pigments, some mud. I've made pictures just with rubbing the green off of leaves and scratching with stones and all kinds of things. You can just play.
Feels like what you're saying is that you to do it authentically, it has to be authentic for you, and you have to kind of get in touch with that. Well, it is that childlike place, but it's more than just play. It's like it's not holding back. It's like it's not censoring yourself.
Comes from the heart.
Yeah.
Children come from the heart.
Yeah.
Because they haven't developed head yet.
No, sure.
I mean, that's the later down the line. But young children are just responding from the heart.
Yeah.
Shamanism comes from the heart.
Yeah.
Working with the spirits comes from the heart.
Yeah.
Beauty comes from the heart.
Yeah.
And it's like if we put phrases into the situation, like you see with your heart, you think with your heart,
yes,
and try and go to that place before you start working. The South American traditions say that the longest journey is now for an adult is from the head to the heart, and it's true. It's not an easy thing.
Yeah, because it's like we've really got to deculturalize ourselves to get back into that place.
And in a way, if there is any way that I prepare myself before I work, it is that bringing the energy down. It's trying to be centered in the belly, in the heart.
Right.
Away from the head, which, yes, I mean, art school programmed me with all sorts of fancy phrases and some very valuable things. I'm not decrying it. But it's the difference between if we're talking about words and writing, you might be writing a technical manual. Now that would be something like objective drawing, getting a completely accurate rose. Or you might be writing a report of something that's happened. So that in picture terms, that would be, you know, either taking photos or recording real life situation. If you're talking about spirit work that comes from the heart, and that is poetry, and that is a string of words without structure. With a different structure.
It is a different structure.
And to be able to, sometimes I just start with a string of words with a picture.
You mean like making literally with a string of words, or you make marks?
I will have a bit of a sketch come from spirit, but then I will go, okay, there are these words that go with it too.
Actual words.
Words,
right.
Physical words.
Yeah.
And they will be part of my key to keep in touch with that experience.
Right. It's like they're anchors or sort of energy sketches, I suppose,
Or it's like a little, you know, it's the poem of the picture.
Yeah.
The picture of the poem. Yeah. They become interchangeable. I mean, I do poems as well.
But so it's not about being clever.
No.
It's not about being terribly intellectual and finding the exact right word, and probably with 8 syllables.
Oh, no.
7 syllables, all right.
But this is like with soul gardens, with our inner world.
Yeah,
we are nourishing that place which is heartful, and it's connected to the earth. It's a downward kind of, although it oftentimes you think, oh, soul must be up in the sky, but somehow it's not. It's down in the heart.
Yeah.
And the sky is in the heart too.
With all of this kind of degree of heartfulness that I know, because I see you working and I kind of know your sort of your painting experience from a, you know, quite a kind of intimate place, you know, in that way, you must put a lot of yourself into your painting. Do you feel that? It's like it's a painting, something that's very special to you when you finished it. It's like, how do you kind of, you know, you put so much kind of your own spiritual energy into it in a way. It's like, how do you, what do you do with it when it's finished? I mean, you know, do you sell them? I mean, how does that work for you?
Some paintings, as I said, to start with, they're records of my particular soul journey.
Right.
Through life. Sometimes I have to keep that bit of that record with me for a while.
Mm.
It's not that I wouldn't want anyone to see it, but it's simply that I need to be able to be near it for its energy.
Because it's got something for you there. It's a reflection for you.
And it's very active still for me. But oftentimes it's, you know, that's been the experience, and the spirits say, do it, you know, do it to so that other people can see this.
Okay.
And for me, that's absolutely fine. That can just go out on its journey.
Yeah.
They're beings to me, the pictures. When once they're done, I can't, you know, no more than you can hold on to people.
No,
that's beautiful, and I've only got a small house. I can't keep them all. It could be a problem. So yeah, it's my spirits have also shown me ways, simple rituals to let go, to disconnect from the paintings.
Okay.
Which sometimes I do and sometimes I don't. If it's been if I feel like doing it, I'll disconnect from it.
Every painting's a different case, I guess.
Mm.
Yeah. So you have a gallery and website gallery, and I know you don't exhibit in kind of normal conventional galleries very much, apart from odd exhibitions here and there.
Yes.
How else do people kind of get your work?
I think, difficult. You're more likely to see my pictures in someone's healing treatment room or shamanic centre, those kinds of places. Mm. People like to have them. Although I was very pleased one time a solicitor in London had a whole set of them for his office.
Yeah.
which is great. This is very good. But no, they go out as originals. Every so often I do a giveaway. I give them away online.
You literally give them away?
I give them away. People pay postage.
Wow.
But to me, my spirits have given me them,
right?
And they are to be given away,
right?
They're not.
Do you get a
my
sense?
My ego isn't tied up in them,
right? Do you get a sense that the right paintings go to the right people when you do a giveaway?
Yeah, the last time I did it, I had quite a few paintings, and it was on a first come, first served. After a certain time, first emails that came in asking for the titles, they would be the people who received them.
Mm.
This went on for two berserk hours. I couldn't believe it. My machine was getting red hot. And the requests were coming in, and no one doubled up on a request.
Really?
And except for one person.
Okay.
And when I came to this, one came in later on. It was 2 hours and then it stopped, naturally.
Yeah.
And I thought, my goodness, let's check on this. They've all been taken. And then another person that evening emailed, and I thought, no, that painting's gone. But then I looked in the cupboard, as it were, and I found another one I'd forgotten about. And I sent her an image of it, and she said, oh, that is so much better. So I trust that between the paintings and the spirits, they sort it out.
They do, don't they? They really do. They really do.
People find, well, paintings find people.
Yeah. I just wanted to ask one other question, really.
I ought to add that I used to do prints for people.
Yeah.
And I, big machine, I've just given it away today.
She's big into giveaway.
But I didn't enjoy the process of the technicals of making the print and sending it out. So I just suddenly thought sideways one day and thought, well, I do want the images to go out, but what I'll do is just send people the JPEGs, the electronic image, and they can print their own. So it's an appeal to my sense of humour. It was like a bit like pick your own on the farm, you know, this is print your own. Right.
Well, most people have got decent printers now, at least sort of A4, and there's so many people with photo printers and all of that. So you email what people email you, and then you email them back the JPEG, and they just print it.
There's a print your own section on the website, and what you do is send me the title that you want, and I email you a higher resolution, a bigger picture in effect than is on the website. If you took them off the website, it wouldn't print a very good picture.
Right, they're very small, low res, yeah.
But these are larger files, bigger images, which go to about A4 size usually.
Right, and you don't charge for that. That's completely free.
No, that costs me nothing.
True. Mm. Don't even have to buy a stamp.
and it's a strange effect that people say, ask me twice. Are you sure? Is it free? Is it really free? And when, you know, I say to people, well, if you feel unbalanced about this, you know, you feel you've kind of received something and you want to return energy, I can understand that. Go and give something away to someone else.
Yeah, what a lovely thing to do.
Yes,
yeah.
and you know, make more trouble.
Yeah.
Make more of it people feel uncomfortable.
I just wanted to ask a real sort of technical question, really, in that I know that a lot of people listening to this will actually be painters and artists, because, you know, so it's a big hobby thing, let alone all the professional people out there listening to. What do you actually use? What media do you use?
I use mainly acrylic paint, and I paint on paper.
Yeah.
Which varies, Bockingford usually, heavyweight paper. I have painted on the wooden kitchen doors that you can buy in DIY shops.
Oh, yes.
Which I prime, and they've got the sort which have the little frame effect around the edge. So you've got a ready-made frame, and you can paint all over the frame as well. So that, you know, look out for those.
Kitchen cupboard doors.
Yeah. I am going to do some painting on stones using words, which interests me in energy terms, to put an intent in a way on the stone or poem, so the stone holds the energy of that. They'll be harder to do giveaways with. I better choose light stones.
Yeah, can't email those, are you? I'm aware that there's a bed head that's painted.
Oh yes, yes.
As well,
bed head, yes.
So it's all sorts of things. Anything. It stays still long enough, you'll paint it.
But there are no rules.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really big for me. There are no rules. And I think for most artists, that's the excitement of it too.
It's
like taking away the boundaries. At a certain point, when people are learning, say, an evening class or such, the teacher will give lots and lots of rules about how you do this, how you do that. And to achieve the effect, yes, you do that. But to be in your own play space without rules and to say, well, there's just a very few technical things you need to know. Oil and water don't mix and things like that.
Yeah.
But they're very... In fact, I'm going to, at some stage soon, I'm going to put up those basics on the website as a resource.
Right.
But there's lots of lovely sites now where artists are sharing how they do things. Incredible mixtures of things are going on. Paints and plastics and fabric, and really the amount of materials that we've got now mean that the rules are going out the window.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and that's great.
Well, is there anything else you want to say?
I'm always open to looking at people's pictures via, you know, JPEGs. Small JPEGs, please. Don't send huge files to me, but you know, I'll look at things and do tutorials in that way, or just by talking, saying, giving some new ideas. Really, what I do is open up ideas for people. Often they it's under their nose what they're wanting to do and what they're actually doing, but it sometimes takes someone else to say, hey, you know, you're actually doing it. Keep doing it. Let me know how you get on. And just that bit of support. That I really enjoy hearing from people what they're doing.
Yeah. Well, I'll get you to say your website and your email address. So what are they?
The site is www.soulgardens.co.uk. That's SOULGARDENS, soulgardens.co.uk. And the email is faith@soulgardens.co.uk.
Okay,
and
well.
Do go to the website, have a look, read the poems.
Yes.
I've got a blog now.
Is there a link on the website to the blog? Yeah. Okay, great. And giveaways, you do like people contact you and you go on, they go on a waiting list, is that the way?
I have a mail out list.
Yeah.
And people are sent, when there's a giveaway, they're sent about a week or so beforehand. They're sent what the actual time is to try and get their bid in.
Okay, and you do them at a time of day when America is awake, do you? You don't do it like very early in the morning British time when they're all asleep.
Actually, last time I did.
Oh, you naughty person.
I didn't even think about it.
Well, I'll make sure that she does the next one at a more user-friendly time for the Americans.
Oh, well, okay. Actually, someone, I think in Singapore last time, they sat up. Which was a great honour. My goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think that's probably all we need to say. So that's brilliant. Thank you very much for taking the time to talk about it.
It's my pleasure.
Thank you. I'm kind of a bit biased about Faith's work because I've known it for a long time, but I think it's absolutely fantastic, and if you are not familiar with it, I really recommend that you go and have a look at her work on her website, because it's really, really good. Thank you. Well, I hope you enjoyed listening to that interview with Faith, and I hope that you'll take the time, if you don't already know her work, to go and have a look at her website. And she's, as she said, she's very approachable. If you wish to send her an email, faith@faithknowlton.co.uk, and she's really open to questions and comments. So it's been nice doing another podcast after all of this time, and I have plans for more in the future. I really want to do a series of podcasts on healing, and that will be happening. I'll really try and get my head together and get that sorted. Well, it's not my head. My head's fairly much on it. It's the, it's getting the time together. But keep tuned in, as it were, and it will happen. My email, nick@sacredhoop.org. The website for the podcast, which is also my gallery website for the antiques that I sell, is threeworlds.co.uk, number3worlds.co.uk. Sacred Hoop magazine, we've just published issue 68 of the magazine, and I shall be starting to work on issue 69 very soon. They keep coming, they keep happening. personally, when Faith and I started it, we only gave it sort of maximum of 10 issues. We didn't think it would survive beyond that, so we were proved wrong. If you want to go to that, it's sacredhoop.org, and there's a special we do a special offer for people listening to this podcast. If you want to subscribe to the magazine on a PDF version, an electronic version, where you can get it for £7.50 rather than £10, and there's a special sort of hidden page for that, which is www.sacredhoop.org/offer, OFFER .html. And if you have any trouble getting to that page, email me nick@sacredhoop.org, because I'm saying it from memory, so I might have got it wrong. I'm going to finish with another piece of music, because I like music, and I have no idea what it is, because I haven't chosen a piece yet, so it's going to be a surprise to both of us. Thanks for listening, really do appreciate it. Thanks for emailing me, and for all of the sort of people that have contacted me and said, are you all right, and is there another podcast coming, and hey, what about another podcast, and all of that. Yeah, they'll keep happening. So keep your subscriptions to the podcast going, and I'll try and get these healing ones sorted out real quick. And I said it last year and it never happened, but there's the shamanic conference again in the UK in September, and I'm going to try and get it together to find the time there, which is really difficult because it's very pressured from very early in the morning to very late at night. But if I can, I will try and get some interviews and try and do some sort of podcast that's about the conference. And if you want to know about the conference, it is it's got its own website, which is www.shamanconference.co.uk. Okay, as I said, thanks for listening, and here's the music. I wonder what it will be. was the melody to a medieval troubadour song called Tots Temeros et Dobtans. And the troubadour is Berenger de Palieu, who lived between about 1160 and 1209. And it was performed by Ensemble Saramonde. And I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did, because that's one of my favourite melodies. It kind of gives me goosebumps, that one. I think it's quite exquisite. Anyway, as I say, I hope you enjoyed it. Thanks. Bye-bye.